And the reason why we launched this series is to simply say, hey, we know that life can get crazy sometimes. We understand that, you know, life, the new feels everything but normal, but you can rest assured that you can still find clarity even through all the chaos. And it's the reason why we launched this series. And you can navigate this season actually with confidence. And God wants to empower you not only today, but also moving forward. And God wants to bring you clarity, even on the days that feel very uncertain, days that feel really fuzzy. Like, God, what in the world is actually going on in my life? God, I don't understand. God, I don't know what to do. Or God, I don't know how to respond. God's like, hey, let me show you how you can actually walk confidently even though the ground feels very shaky around you. It's confidence. It's the, hey, I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know where I stand and what I stand on because I know the God who created me is the one who is actually in control when my world feels like it is out of control. And, you know, we can feel discombobulated in every direction. And let me start in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. It's in your notes this morning. I want to unpack this verse as we jump in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It starts off like this. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, the God of peace. And I want you to notate that God is the God of peace. And everything we talk about in this series, every single weekend as we unpack a different subject, it's supposed to lead us to this peace. It might be spiritual peace. For some of us, it's emotional peace, relational peace. And, you know, life can sometimes feel chaotic, but the God of peace, understand he's actually working something in you. And the verse, it actually continues like this. If you're reading in there, it says, to sanctify you through and through. To sanctify you. And that word sanctify, it means to actually set apart. It's an older word. It's a word that we don't really use really often in today, but it means that God is working something in you. He's actually purifying something inside of you to set you apart, to be dedicated to him and his purpose. Just like what Laura said, I officiated my first wedding yesterday. It was a great time. I was really nervous, but it was a great time together to join, you know, love and union. And, you know, everybody was dressed up. You see all the guys wearing suits or, you know, they're wearing their finest, their best. And we saw the ladies are wearing dresses looking amazing. But there was something very unique about the wedding dress. There's something really special. It was actually set apart for something very specific and special. And that's what God is doing in your life when he's working something in you. He's actually setting you apart for something special for his purpose. It's an ongoing thing, and he actually works in three different areas of our lives. And this is how the verse continues on. If you notice, it says this, that may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And scripture actually talks about three different parts to every person. And it's where God does his work in us and through us. And notice the order there. It's very specific. It says that he works in your spirit, and then he works in your soul, and then the body. See, God's working in our spirit. This is a part of us that's actually God conscious. Okay, that's the God conscious part of us. It's your spirit. It's the innermost part of every person. The spirit, that no other creation other than the human life actually has this part to them. It's your spirit. Secondly, we saw your soul. That's the self-conscious part of us. This is the psychological part of you. It's your personality. It's where we experience love. It's where we experience anger. Where we experience compassion. You might hear things like, hey, that movie just, it warmed my soul. It warmed my soul. Or grandma's chicken noodle soup, man, that just warmed my soul, right? You feel it in your soul. You might have heard of soul food. It comforts you. It does something inside. That's your soul. It's a self-conscious part of us. It's the emotions, the feeling, the personality. But also it talks about the body. This is the visible external part. Okay, this is the part that jiggles when you're on the Stairmaster 24-Hour Fitness, okay? This is the outermost part of us. It's in contact with the tangible things in our material world. This is the world-conscious part of us. And God is actually working in these three specific areas, and they all kind of work in collaboration with each other, because what's going on in your spirit starts to affect what's going on in your soul. And what affects your soul affects how we operate in our body. Does that make sense? I'll tell you what, just plowing through some of this craziness this last year and 4 months has affected my spirit. I don't know about you. Pandemic, things shutting down. And then it's really drained my soul even. My heart, the part of me that feels a lot of things. You guys know me, I'm a feeler. It's affected my body. Today I'm trying to consciously realign myself. It's affecting certain parts of me. Maybe you can resonate with that. Maybe you're like, Josh, hey, my spirit's just not in a good place, like spiritually. I'm kind of off course. Josh, hey, my soul is struggling. I'm just kind of drained today. My emotions are running wild, man. I'm feeling a lot of things. I'm experiencing some stuff that's just affecting my soul. Josh, hey, I'm not eating well. Or hey, Josh, I'm not eating at all. You know, I lost my appetite. I'm staying up all night and I'm ordering takeout like every single day because, man, I'm just going through some stuff. It's throwing me off. And maybe in this season, maybe some old habits have crept up in your life. Maybe some old addictions. I want you to understand something. Hey, you are not alone. You're not alone. Trying to navigate the new normal might have weighed heavy on you, no pun intended. So today, what I really want to focus on is that second part. I want to focus on your soul today. I want us to focus on our soul because we all know what this new normal has done to a lot of us. I know what it's done to me. Some of you might have been affected by this pandemic physically. Maybe you know somebody who got affected by it personally. Maybe they're in the hospital, whatever that looks like. Maybe you're affected by it financially. It's real and it's happening. And more than ever, it's affected a lot of people emotionally. It's affected our insides. It's affected our minds, the way that we're thinking. And because we have been so socially distanced, guess what? We're socially distanced. Can I preach a little bit today? So socially distanced that we're socially distanced. Can I encourage you today? Being down, being out, being on the fringes is not the end for you. There is hope for your soul. Today I want to speak on building healthy emotions. Building healthy emotions because we can be emotionally solid in this new normal. And you know what? Emotions actually have stages to them. There's a progression that happens. And, you know, you might find yourself in one of these stages. And today, this morning, I want to unpack some of these stages so maybe you could recognize and see maybe where you are. And maybe we can make some changes this week. You might recognize, hey, man, my emotions, something right here is out of order. Let me go ahead and pivot in a certain area of my life. If you're taking notes this morning, sometimes our emotions get kind of out of whack, out of order, because number one, go ahead and write this down. We experience shock. We experience some type of shock. And that might be the sudden death of someone. It might be a relative or a friend, someone you knew. It's something that happened in your life that, you know, you were totally blindsided by. You didn't see it coming. And now you're just, you know, you're in shock. You kind of stop like, whoa, like it was a jolt of electricity. And when we go through that initial shock, man, it is very disorienting for us. We aren't seeing things right because we're in this shock. We cannot see correctly. You know, we're when we can't see correctly, guess what rules the most? It's your emotions. Man, when I go through shock, when I go through a hard experience, man, my emotions, that's what takes first place oftentimes. You start making rush judgments. Maybe we might start flying off the handle, right? You don't think, you just act. Trying anything you can to try to make sense of the shock that you experience. Man, you might have seen it when this pandemic first hit, man. Who was in those Costco lines buying up all the toilet paper and water? Who was that? Was that you? That was me, my wife, that's for sure. Yeah, that's you, Hannah. I saw you in the back. That was a lot of us, man. I remember, man, this line is long. Man, I was like, babe, we got to get some toilet paper and water. I don't know why. We got to. Like, everybody else is doing it. It was shock. I went to go visit my parents, man. They had a whole operation going on at their house, man. I was stealing all their stuff, right? Shock, man. California shutting down, man. What are we going to do? And emotionally, our vision, it gets fuzzy because of this shock. Man, can I remind you today? God is not shocked. God is not shocked. When everything went down, when that thing happened in your life, God wasn't like, oh, my bad. Hey, that took me by surprise. My bad. I didn't. He's in control. Hey, can I encourage you today? Hey, we're going to make it through. He's still holding the reins, and he is not one bit surprised when we experience hard things. It's the rhythms of living in a fallen world, but God is in control. But usually our emotions, they get out of order when we experience this shock. And when that shock, it's not dealt with, it actually turns into, here's number two, write this down. When the shock is not undealt with, it actually turns into sorrow. It turns into sorrow. And sorrow, it happens. It comes when we've lost something. Maybe you were disappointed somehow. Maybe you were hurt. It's that deep despair of losing something. And even Jesus understood how that felt. This is not in your notes, but Isaiah 53, it says this. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. See, God understands how it feels when we lose something. God knows. Even when one of his friends, Lazarus, had passed away, John 11:35, it's not in your notes, but it's the shortest verse in the Bible. It says this, that Jesus wept. He cried. Hey, it's okay to cry. It's okay to not be okay. Understand, weeping is a common and normal, even healthy way to grieve loss. But let me show you this. What's not okay is being overwhelmed by that sorrow. Letting that sorrow take over you. And that's what the enemy of your soul wants to do. He wants to take and steal your joy. He wants you to wallow and be overcome by that sorrow. And sometimes our emotions, they get out of order when we first experience shock. When that's undealt with, it turns into sorrow. Here's kind of the last stage of this emotional progression. When we feel that shock, it turns into sorrow. Then number three, we begin to struggle. We begin to struggle. And that's where I want to park it this morning today. As we begin to struggle. Some of you this morning, you might be in the park today. You might be at home listening on your couch. You are struggling emotionally. Your emotions are everywhere. Man, it feels like it is out of control. And more often than not, we find ourselves in that place of struggle, that place of sorrow. We're just kind of wallowing at the bottom. And guess what? We start to develop some coping mechanisms, right? Some coping mechanisms. For some, it's food. Can I be honest, right? It's some people, it's food. Others, it's drugs. Some of you guys, it's social media. I'm just gonna go ahead and scroll, just so I can get away from the pain. Trying to medicate the situation, anything to escape. And during these times, when we're struggling, we start to isolate ourselves. We start to socially distance ourselves from others, and then we start ruminating. We start ruminating, and rumination is this, it's the focused attention on the symptoms of your distress opposed to the solution. You get alone, you start to socially distance yourself, and then you start to ruminate on something. You're just like thinking about that, man, what can I have done differently? What could I have said to change that situation. You keep replaying what happened in your mind. You keep kind of replaying that situation like, man, let me just pinpoint what if I just said this differently, if I just stopped doing that, if I didn't mess up. You start talking to yourself, you start sounding kind of crazy, right? Start talking to yourself. Let me say this, in those times, understand we are our worst counselors. We are our own worst counselors, and you start asking why. And Jesus, when he was on the cross, this is not in your notes, in Matthew 27, he said this. He said, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm not saying that Jesus was weak. I'm not saying that Jesus had faults. He was perfect in every sense of the word, but he did experience the same hurt and pain that we would on that cross. And Jesus said, God, why? Why did you forsake me? And when we experience hard things, we ruminate, we doubt, we question, we feel stuck. So, man, we struggle. We struggle. And I've been there many times. Maybe you have too. But understand this morning, there is hope for your soul. The great news is we do not have to stay there. We don't have to stay in that place. We don't have to let our hurt overcome us. We don't have to try and cope to make things feel better just for a certain period of time. And then later on, we feel even worse. You know, I wish I could tell you, man, if I would just pray over you, all your problems will go away. All your bills will be paid. All the things that hurt you would be gone. But I can't. It's the reality of life. But we can learn how to be incredibly solid, even unmovable, even in the middle of chaos. See, there's a way for us to literally build healthy emotions. And today I'm going to teach you how to build your life and your emotions like a house. Like a house that's built on a solid foundation. If you look at your notes in Matthew chapter 7, there's this really cool metaphor of building a house, and I want us to look at that this morning, starting in verse 24, and it says this. It says, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living." Notice this, they are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Notice this next part. Rain poured down. Rain poured down. You can insert job loss. You can insert coronavirus. You can insert relational hurt, financial turmoil. But rain poured down. It says that the river flooded, a tornado hit. But go ahead and notice this last part. I want you to circle this if you have the opportunity. It says, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. It was fixed to the rock. If you want to be emotionally solid in this new normal, you got to build your life on some things. I'm going to go ahead and unpack that this morning. Here's the first one. We're going to build our foundation. If you want to build your life on a solid rock, number one, you have to build on the foundation of relationships and connectedness. You have to build your life on the foundation of relationships and connectedness. How do I do that? Josh, what's some practical steps for me? Here's another one of your blanks. Connect with God and others every day. Connect with God and others every day. Some of us are emotionally struggling today because you are sorely disconnected. You might be disconnected from God. You might be disconnected from time in his presence, you know, learning from his word. And it's been far and few in between. And, you know, every day, the best of my ability, I connect with God. You know, I do that because even as someone who leads at this capacity, man, I got to align myself every single day with him. For me, it's the morning. I like to align myself with God early because guess what, man? My head falls off my body every single day. I mess up. I drop the ball all the time. What about you? How about this? Instead of ruminating on the problem, how about we ruminate on the promises of God? Instead of ruminating on all the things that are just worrying you, it's getting you down, how about you ruminate on God's promises? You know, a lot of people are emotionally struggling today because they'd rather spend time figuring out what went wrong rather than resting in the things that will get their souls right. That's the promises. That's the word of God. I love what Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 and 9 says this. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, and whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. There is only one person who is excellent and praiseworthy. That is God himself. I love this last part. It says, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. When we think on these things, when we spend time leaning into his presence, it says that the God of peace will be with you. Hey, you want peace in the storm? Get connected to God. His promise, he promises when we think on these things, when we connect here, that God's peace, actually, his peace enters in. When light walks in the room, darkness has to flee. Maybe you're already connected with God. Maybe, Josh, I spend time with God. I do it every single day. Hey, that's awesome. Let me ask you a question. Are you connecting with others? Are you connecting with others? Are you in a small group? We talk about it all the time. You need a set of relationships. You know, my wife and I, we launched a young married couple small group just recently. And, you know, we talk, we laugh, we share our struggles. You know, we encourage each other. We get vulnerable. We pray over each other. And, you know, I didn't realize how much I actually needed this group until I actually jumped in. Man, I need it. I can't thrive by myself. I need people speaking life into me every day. When I drop the ball as a husband, I need people praying for me. You know, when I'm having a bad week, I need people to laugh with and laugh at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need these people around me. Man, some of y'all just need to eat a Big Mac and laugh today. Do you have people that you're doing life with? People that you're growing with, you're sharpened by? Notice this, people who are adding value to you and you're adding value to them. Do you have those people in your life? This is what Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 16. I love this verse. It says, from him the whole body, it says, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Notice that word, supporting, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We need to connect with others. We need to connect together, doing things together, supporting each other, building each other up in love. And it's why we're doing a church picnic after service today, man. Who's coming for the church picnic? All right. That's why we're doing it. We're spending time together. We're doing life together. We just want to hang with our peeps. You got to build your life on the foundation of relationships, connectedness. Here's the second thought. Now we're going to frame the house. You know, we built the foundation. Now let's frame this house. Let's go ahead and put the wood up. How's my life structured? It's structured actually on two different things. I want you to write this down. I not only build the foundation, but I build the structure of my life of purpose and routines. Write that down. Of purpose and routines. The structure of my life is built on my purpose. Routine is how I actually live out my purpose. It's actually how I live that. That's my routine. You want to be, you know, emotionally healthy in this new normal? You better grab hold of your purpose. You better know what your purpose is. You better know why God created you. And you got to build some structure for your week. Your purpose, like a laser, it will guide your soul. How do I structure or frame the house of my life, Josh, so that it's solid here? I want you to write this down. I discover my purpose and make a difference. I discover my purpose and make a difference. Josh, you guys say that every single week. Why? Because we forget a lot. We need that little reminder. I've got to discover my purpose and make a difference. You might be like, Josh, what's my purpose? You guys always talk about purpose. What is that? Where can I find it? You know, what's this purposing that you're talking about? Let me say this. The only place for you to find your purpose is in God. It's the only place where you can find your purpose. You can only know what you were created for when you know the one who created you. You know the one who designed you. You know the one who gave you those feelings. You know the one who gave you those passions. You know the one who created you for a very specific purpose. Ephesians 1 says this. I love this. Maybe some of us need to make this your life verse about purpose. It says this. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. The only place for you to find your purpose is in God, because he's the one who created you with purpose, on purpose. And you know what? God has actually 5 specific purposes for every single person here. If you're like, Josh, I don't know what my purpose is. You know, I'm not too sure what you're talking about. Let me align these things up for you this morning. I'm going to fly through these because this can be a talk all to itself. But the 5 purposes that God has for everyone is here. Here's the first one. The 5 purposes that God has for me. Number one, to center my life around him. That's worship. One of the purposes that God has for my life is for me to center my life around him, to worship. Matthew 22, it's not in your notes, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I got to center my life around him. He created me to worship him. Here's number 2. The second purpose God has for you, to learn to love his family. That's fellowship. To learn to love his family, fellowship. We're doing that after service. We're doing that actually right now. Fellowship. Hebrews 10 says this, let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. Some of God's purposes for you is to center your life around him. That's to worship. Number 2, to learn to love his family. That's fellowship. Here's number 3, to cultivate spiritual maturity. That's discipleship. To cultivate spiritual maturity, discipleship. Hebrews 6:1 says this, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. And God wants you to mature spiritually in him. It's one of the purposes he has for you. Here's the 4th one, to contribute something back. To contribute something back, that's called ministry. We do that every single weekend. Some of you guys do that throughout the week. You serve families in foster care. Some of you guys serve on the worship team. You know, some people are on the tech team. You're set up in charge. You are serving other people. It's called ministry, and it's one of the purposes of God for your life. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, just as each one has received a gift, we use it for serving one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God, ministry. Here's the 5th one for you this morning. God's purpose for your life is to tell others about his love. That's called witnessing. Witnessing, telling others about his love. Telling them about the good news and grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, as God's partners, we beg you to not try to toss aside this marvelous message of God's great kindness. Those are the 5 purposes that God has for you, to center your life around him, to worship, to learn to love his family. It's called fellowship. To cultivate spiritual maturity, it's called discipleship. To contribute something back, it's called ministry. Then lastly, to tell others about his love, witnessing. And when I frame my life around these God-given purposes, something happens in me. There's a work. There's a spiritual maturity there. There's something that happens inside of me. I gain perspective. I gain this confidence knowing that God has me. You know, just recently we had a leadership meeting and I was asked the question, hey, Josh, are you nervous? What do you think about like the kind of the unknown or the next? I said, you know, I'm not nervous. You know why? God's got me. God has us. God has you. God has me. He had me in the past. He had you in the past, and he'll continue to have you in the future. Maybe you just needed to be reminded of that today. You know, I gain confidence when my life is structured around God-given purpose, and then I walk that out. You see, when I center my life around him in worship, I experience peace. I gain strength when I learn to love his family, when I'm leaning into relationships. That strengthens me. I gain understanding that God is working in me and then through me. There's a spiritual maturity that happens. Man, this is on purpose. God actually allowed this to happen in my life to stretch me, to grow my faith. When I get my eyes off of me, off of my problems, the things that seem so monumental in the past, but man, I gain perspective when I'm serving other people, ministry. I make eternal difference in my world when I tell other people about his love. You know, some of the most peace-filled people that I know or that you'll ever meet are the ones that are walking out God's purposes for their lives. When you build the focus of your life, when you frame, when you structure your life on purpose and routine, man, God works something in you, but he also works something through you. We talked about building the foundation, relationships, connectedness. Then we talked about, hey, let's build this structure. Let's discover our purpose. And hey, let's walk that out. Now, let's decorate the interior. let's make it pretty. Let's hang the pictures. Let's put out the furniture. Let's make this house look pretty. And I call this number three, the beautifying of trust and self-control. The beautifying of trust and self-control, and you need both. You need both of those. And here's the difference between the two. Trust is surrendering what I can't control. Self-control is only doing the things that I can control. Does that make sense? Let me say this one more time. Trust is surrendering what I can't control. Self-control is only doing the things I can control. Some of us today need to finally trust that God has you and that God is in control of your situation. And maybe you need to let go of the reins today. Some of us need to come to the realization that we can't control the situation. We can't control how somebody else is going to operate, how they're going to react, how it's all going to end up. And maybe this worrying in your mind, in your heart about what's going on in our world, it is eating you up inside. It's literally draining your soul. Some of us today, you just need to say, God, I'm trusting in you today. Today, I'm deciding to surrender what I can't control. And God, I'm going to work on the things that I can control. God, I'm going to stop isolating myself. I'm going to stop just sitting back in this worry and soulishly distance. God, I'm going to go spend more time in your presence. I'm going to lean into healthy friendships and healthy community. God, I'm going to stop building my life on worry and doubt and fear. But God, I'm going to build my life on you as a foundation. God, I'm going to structure it on your purposes. God, I'm going to do a whole Joanna Gaines fixer-upper type deal inside of this heart. And I'm going to decide to trust in you. I don't know what you're holding on to today, guys. I don't know what your season that you're walking in right now. I don't know how your soul is doing, but you do. Let me ask you this question. What area of your life do you need to surrender full control to God? What does that look like to you? One last verse, and I'm going to pray for us this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, amazing verse, encouraging verse. Let me challenge you this morning with this verse. It says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. He will make your path straight. What do you need to trust God with today? What type of foundation do you need to kind of break up and then now place it on God? What foundation do you need to build? What kind of framing around your house, your home, inside of you that you need to structure on God today? Who here just needs to trust in him? Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for the reminder that we can build our lives on you. And you are a sure foundation. You are a solid structure. And God, you beautify the inside of us that comes out, God, when we trust and we just surrender all to you. As everybody's heads bowed, as your eyes are closed, one of our pastors, Chris, last week spoke on on parenting. He did an amazing job, and he had all our parents kind of stand up to make a decision for him. And I'm not going to ask you to do that this morning, but I do want to pray for you. So if you're someone just like there in your seat, you might be at home in your living room, and you're like, Josh, I just need to build my life on God today. There's an area of my life that I just need to surrender over. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm actually not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if that's you, can you just go palms up with me today and I can pray for you? If that's you, just go palms up. God, I'm just surrendering. Yep, I see you. Just go palm. Yep, I see you. Praise God. Yep, I see you all over this place. God, I pray for my friends that are just surrendering this specific area of their life. It might be financial. It might be their job. It might be what's next. It might be what's happening in their family. It might be a certain relationship, but you know. We don't know, but you know. So God, as we stop and we pause and we go palms up to you, God, we are surrendering that and choosing to trust you. Father, thank you so much for all you've done. In your name, amen. Amen.